Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Programming Interviews for Dummies by John Sonmez and Eric Buteau. Narrated by Mike Carnes. Publisher's note: this audiobook refers to figures included in the print and ebook editions of the book. Introduction. Kudos to you for entering the programming job market. Maybe you're a newly minted programmer looking for your first job, or you're an experienced programmer who wants, or needs, to find a new job. No matter your situation, this book is here to help you do one thing: find the job where you can work happily ever after, or at least reasonably so. Having a resume and cover letter is just the start of your journey. You need to know what kind of job you want, what kind of company you want to work for, and where you want to work. What's more, these days you may be able to work at home at least part of the time, and you have to take that into consideration too. When you've finished writing down or typing your list of potential companies you hope to work for, you have to tailor your resume and cover letter to each one. Then, if you're patient, your journey will start in earnest, and the company will ask you for an interview. Though it's impossible to know your chances for success, you're reading this book because you want to succeed. About this book. The purpose of Programming Interviews for Dummies is straightforward: give you all the information you need so you have the best chance at landing a new programming job. But as you can see from the size of the book, getting your new job is easier said than done. We help you every step of the way, starting with how to create a resume and cover letter that stand out, how to network with others, how to ace your tests and interviews, and then how to negotiate effectively so that the company will give you the pay and benefits package you deserve. This book isn't about how to pass your coding tests, so you'll find only a few brief coding examples in this book. Instead, we recommend several books and websites that give you all the coding examples and practice you need to ace that part of your interview. We also provide programming concept examples that you can apply in any programming language, so you don't have to worry about having to learn a new language to understand what we're talking about. You'll find a couple of conventions in this book that you should be aware of. 1. Bold text means that you're meant to type the text just as it appears in the book. The exception is when you're working through a steps list. Because each step is bold, the text to type is not bold. And the 2. Our web addresses and programming code appear in monofont. If you're reading a digital version of this book on a device connected to the internet, note that you can click the web address to visit that website, like dummies.com. How this book is organized. We've organized chapters in this book into 5 parts, and each chapter is arranged into sections that talk about different aspects of the chapter's main subject. Though this book is written sequentially, so you can read it all the way through if you want, you don't have to. You can flip to the appropriate chapter or section and read what you want to learn. Here's what's in each of the 5 parts. Part 1, finding and hooking your next employer. This part tells you about how to prepare to interview with employers, and also understand what employers are doing to prepare for you. You also learn how being prepared will pay off during your job search. What's more, we show you that how you provide value to a company is key to not only getting an interview, but also one or, hopefully, more job offers. Part 2. Preparing for your interview. In this part, we help you perform some introspection and decide where you want to work, the size and type of company you want to work for, and most important, what type of programming job you want. Then you learn how to find out what's available and where the jobs are, so you can shine up your resume, the accompanying cover letter, and your social networking profiles, as companies look at all of these items closely. If a company likes what it sees, you'll get a phone call or an email asking you to answer some questions over the phone. We tell you how to pass this phone screen so you can go to the next level, the in-person interview with one or more company representatives. Part 3. Everyone's testing time. The chapters in this part discuss not just the interview itself, but also the kinds of tests you'll be asked to perform to show off your programming prowess. If you don't feel like you're fully up to speed with answering programming and personal questions, you'll learn how to level up your skills so that you'll ace the interview. You'll also learn about the types of tests you'll encounter, including data structures, detecting design patterns, sorting algorithms, and solving puzzles. Part 4. Sealing the deal. After you've had a successful interview, it's time to play the waiting game. You may or may not get a job offer, and this part tells you how to respond in either case. If you get one or more job offers, you'll learn how to bring your cards to the table, deal with the company, and negotiate the best deal for you, or walk away if you don't like your offer. Part 5. The Part of Tens. This wouldn't be a Four Dummies book if it didn't include the Part of Tens. The chapters in this part contain a number of interesting and useful snippets to help you land your next job and avoid losing an opportunity. 10 ways to stand out, 10 non-technical questions you may be asked, 10 reasons your resume will end up in the round file, and 10 resources for information and more. Foolish assumptions. When we wrote this book, it was easy for us to assume that you're looking for a job. Beyond that, we assumed the following. 1. You have at least some programming experience in one or more languages, such as C++, Python, or JavaScript. 2. You're looking for a new programming job with a company, and you don't want to work as a freelancer or start your own business. 3. You'll do whatever it takes to get the skills you need, both in programming and human interaction, to get the job you want. And 4. Even if you don't get the job you want, you'll keep at it until you succeed. If our assumptions are correct, then this is the book for you. We're confident that the concepts and tactics used in this book will help you achieve your goals. Icons used in this book. This book is stippled with paragraphs that contain various icons, so you know these paragraphs need your attention. Here are what the different icons mean. The tip icon marks a small piece of expert advice and/or important details you shouldn't miss. The remember icons mark the information that's especially important for you to know. If you need a refresher about all the good stuff that's in the chapter, just read through all the remember paragraphs. The technical stuff icon. This is a programming book, so you'll see some paragraphs that contain technical information without overwhelming you, and come complete with the technical stuff icon. The warning icon. This book does have some warnings for you. When you see the warning icon, read the warning text carefully so you understand the effect of what we're saying. The goal of a warning is to save your head from aching. Beyond the book. In addition to what you're reading right now, this book also comes with a free Access Anywhere cheat sheet that has all the best tips for getting the interview, acing your phone screen and the interview itself, and what you need to know about data types, design patterns, and sorting algorithms. To get this cheat sheet, simply go to dummies.com and type Programming Interviews for Dummies in the search box. Where to go from here? The first few chapters give you a good overview of what to expect from companies as they look for one or more new programmers to join their teams. We also tell you what to do to make your all-important resume and cover letter stand out, and also to shape up your social networking profiles to help them shine, because interviewers will be looking at them too. If the company has contacted you and wants to talk more about the open position over the phone, turn to Chapter 7 to learn what to expect from your phone screen and how to answer questions from the interviewers so they'll want you to come back in person. After you've scheduled your interview, check out Chapter 8 to get ideas about what company interviewers will ask you and how to brush up on your programming and people skills. Chapters 9 through 12 tell you about the types of problems interviewers ask and how to solve them. But if you're confident in your abilities, then you can skim or even skip these chapters. When you shine so brightly to the interview committee that all its members are wearing shades, you can read Chapter 13 to learn what to expect and do if the company offers you the job, or not. Once the company offers you a job, and you haven't negotiated with the company in a long time, or never, read Chapter 14 carefully so you can enter the negotiation meeting at the company with confidence. If you find yourself so popular that you get multiple offers, this chapter tells you how to manage that situation too. If you need a checklist of everything you need to have, as well as what you should and shouldn't do, read chapters 15 through 19. They tell you everything you must do to give yourself the best chance of receiving a job offer from one or, even better, several companies. 1. Finding and hooking your next employer. In this part, find companies that are hiring programmers and learn how to show your value to a company. Know how companies are preparing to hire their new programmers so you can tell the interview team how you're the right fit. Understand how to show interviewers that hiring you will make the company more successful. Chapter 1. What should you expect? In this chapter, understanding the interview process, tailoring and submitting your resumes and cover letters, learning what happens after a company expresses interest in you, dealing with one or more job offers. Congratulations on wading into the river in your knee-high boots to find your awesome programming self a new employer. The river is running fast, so you've got to look sharp to find the right catch. In this chapter, you start your fishing expedition by understanding the process to get an interview. Next, you learn what your potential employer wants so that you can tailor each resume you send for each position. Employers are more likely to respond if you have an application and resume that has what they're looking for. Once you get a nibble, then you'll start to play the numbers game. That is, it's rare that you'll catch your fish on the first line or even the first 10 lines you cast. There are a lot of other programmers fishing at the same time you are, even if you can't see them. Next, you'll need to put a lot of applications in the water and see what comes up. Some companies will call you and others will email you. And that could lead to phone screens, interviews, and tests. We give you your fly rod, landing nets, wading boots, and all your other gear that may lead to a catch, a job offer. And we explain why you may not get one. Understanding the interview process funnel. If you're new to interviewing, or if you haven't interviewed in a while, you may be surprised to find out what happens during the interviewing process. The more prepared you are before the process starts, the better your chances of success. Yes, it's trite, but if you understand why, then you've already taken the first step toward your new worksite. You can think of the interviewing process as a funnel that both you and companies use to find the best match. If you need to go to the kitchen and get a funnel as a visual reminder, we'll wait. Employers advertise for a programming job, get a lot of resumes stuffed into the funnel, and then respond to the best resumes that come out of the bottom of the funnel, enabling worthy candidates to proceed to the next level. You're putting a lot of employers at the top of your funnel, too. Many are companies you've sent resumes to, and some may be companies you've contacted through friends or colleagues who have referred you for an open position, advertised or not. Before you start the process, you need to make sure you not only have your ducks, or the waterfowl of your choice, in a row, but also that you are careful as you align each duck. Fortunately, your authors are experts in the duck alignment business, so we provide guidance on how to get your resume error-free how to polish your presentation so you aren't nervous or unnerved by the unanticipated question, and how to ace your tests. Remember, we're going to use the funnel concept in this chapter too. That is, we'll take all the high-level information you need to know about finding your next employer in this chapter, which is at the top of the funnel. If you want to go down the funnel and concentrate on the topics you need to work on in detail, we tell you which chapters to bookmark for future reading. Finding companies that are hiring. Searching for companies that are hiring to fill the position you're looking for isn't as easy and straightforward as it may seem. You not only have to know which companies are hiring, but also which companies may be relying on their network of employees to find the right candidate. That means you need to network with those employees yesterday. Tip: as recently as 2017, estimates are that between 70 and 85% of open positions are filled through professional networks than through job opening advertisements. Payscale.com/career-news/2017/04/many-jobs-found-networking. So, what can you do to improve your chances of hooking the company you want to work for? Meet online. The best place to start to meet other professionals online is the professional social networking site LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com, shown in Figure 1-1. LinkedIn offers the best opportunity for meeting like-minded professionals for two compelling reasons. First, LinkedIn has over 610 million users as of February 8, 2019. expandedrambling.com/index.php/by-the-numbers-a-few-important-linkedin-stats. That being so, employers look at your LinkedIn profile as well as your resume as they decide if they want to call or email you to set up a phone screen or interview. Second, you can use LinkedIn to search for the companies you want to work for and see the profiles of the people who work for them. You may get lucky, and some of the email's profiles will include contact information, such as an email address you can use to reach out and introduce yourself. If not, then you have two options. You can send a connection request to the employee. Once connected, members can send and receive messages within LinkedIn for free. When you send a connection request, you should introduce yourself and at least say which LinkedIn user you both have in common to enhance your chances that employees will add you as a connection. You can also sign up for a LinkedIn premium account, which is free for 30 days and $29.99 per month for the premium career plan after that. With a LinkedIn premium account, you can send an in-mail message to introduce yourself, say what your skills are, and ask for more information about job opportunities. Tip: when you view the employee's profile, see if the employee belongs to any LinkedIn groups and join those groups. Then you can participate in those groups by starting useful conversations or sending thoughtful responses in other conversations. In time, others will respond and the employee will, hopefully, notice that you're a valuable group member and he or she should get to know you better. If you already have a LinkedIn profile, then you should do a lot of what we suggest before now. If you don't already have a LinkedIn profile, get one set up and start networking. In either case, craft your LinkedIn profile carefully and follow LinkedIn's suggestions for creating a 100% complete profile. Employers will pass you by if they see that your profile isn't 100% complete and or missing crucial information you need to show to get an interview. Meet in person. In addition to networking online, another way to help improve your chances of hooking the company you want to work for is to network in person. After all, people tend to remember you longer if they can talk to you face-to-face. Always be on the lookout for professional meetings that are happening in your area and go to as many as you can. The latest issue of your local newspaper and/or business journal, if there is one, will have a calendar of upcoming events. Your local Chamber of Commerce website and social networking groups will likely have event calendars, too. The Meetup website, meetup.com, shown in Figure 1-2, is also a popular site for finding a list of in-person events about all sorts of topics. Tip: if you go to any networking event, be sure to have business cards ready to hand out after you shake the person's hand. The card should include your name and contact information and list your skills on the backside of the card. If you type "inexpensive business cards" in your favorite search engine, you'll find websites that let you design and order cards in a jiffy, such as the Vistaprint website, vistaprint.com, you see in Figure 1-3. Look at company websites. You should look on the websites of companies that you want to work for in your area and see if you know company employees you can contact. For example, the website may include a blog with the names of people who have written the blog, and you may want to contact the author. The company website may also have job openings posted on one of its pages, such as a careers page. Applying to the company directly also has another potential advantage. The company may be using a placement agency as a resource to find new hires. If the company hires you directly, it doesn't have to pay a commission to the placement agency. Warning: check the company website to see if applications for the open position are only being accepted through a placement agency. If you apply both to the placement agency and to the company directly, it will look to your prospective employer that you're inattentive at best and spamming them at worst. Both reasons to put your resume in the round file. We get into more detail about searching high and low for companies you want to work for in Chapter 4. Submitting your resumes. Once you've found the companies you want to apply to that have exited the bottom of your funnel and landed on your desk, it's time for you to write your resume and a cover letter to each company. Each of your resumes and cover letters has to be different because every job description is different. The cover letter and resume have to show that you can read the description carefully and you have the skills listed in the job requirements. What's more, each cover letter should introduce yourself and why you're a good fit for the position. Tip: consider adding information about ties you have to the company in your cover letter. For example, you can tell people that you met one of their team members, or even the interviewer, at a local event, or that you worked with some of the same technologies the company uses in one of your past jobs. Showing a potential interviewer that you've done extra credit work gets you that extra step toward an interview. It's perfectly okay to take as much time as you need to get your resume and cover letter right for the job you're applying for, from crafting the layout to a last once-over to ensure you haven't misspelled any words. You'll learn more about how to shine up your resume and your social media profiles, which are just as important, in Chapter 5. But what if this extra time getting ready causes you to miss an opportunity, you ask? We cover this eventuality later in this chapter. If you're still not confident about your skills, don't be shy about looking for resume and cover letter writing firms in your area. Yes, these firms charge you money, but isn't it worth it to know you have a powerful resume and cover letter that you can tweak for each job whenever you need them? Remember, if a company is advertising for several jobs that you qualify for, take care to find out if each job is in a different division of the company. In large companies, one division will send out job applications independent of other divisions in the company. If the company website, or better yet, a contact you know at the company, says the company is smaller, then choose the job you're most interested in because the company will likely consider you for other jobs as well. When you submit multiple resumes and cover letters for different jobs in the same company, that will reek of desperation on your part, and reeking in any situation is a bad thing. A company is interested. Now what? With your resume in the employer's funnels, now you wait to see if yours comes out of the bottom of their funnels so that they can give you a call to the phone number or send you a message to the email address on your resume or cover letter. What are the chances you're going to get a call back or an email response? We can tell you that the chances are zero if the contact information on your cover letter and resume are different. We can also tell you the chances of getting a call back aren't very good if you don't follow up, even if you submitted your resume late or think you did. And by follow up, we mean that you have to follow up often. When should you start following up? This is where you should contact people in your network who work at the company to get an idea. If you're still not sure, then we recommend waiting 1 week before calling and/or sending email messages to the human resources or HR department and/or the manager of the division that's hiring. Following up aggressively never loses you a job because the company representatives will sense that you want to work for them. It's rare if a company will say outright that it doesn't want to hire you because you're too pushy. And if it does, then that's a company you probably don't want to work for anyway. When you get that phone call or email message, the company likely wants to ask you a few follow-up questions to clarify some points, or more likely, wants to schedule a phone screening interview or even an in-person interview. It should go without saying, but we'll say it anyway, that you need to be near your phone and/or your computer so that you can take that call or view that email message as quickly as possible so you can respond fast. Companies like that. Tip: the company representative who calls you will suggest some dates and times for an interview. Have your schedule in your head and be ready to give the company an interview date and time right after the company rep stops talking. Don't pull up the calendar app on your phone while you keep the company rep on the other line waiting while you think about it. If you hem and haw, you've lost the job. Participating in phone screens. If the company has decided to interview you by phone, which is what companies call a phone screen, you need to be aware of what the interviewers may ask of you. For example, you'll be asked technical questions to make sure you can do the job you're applying for. Your personality needs to mesh with other people in the company, so your interviewers will want to know how you behave. Be nice and stay humble. Cockiness or arrogance will tell the interviewers that you won't be a good fit in the company culture. You'll want to show that you're a professional, so answer your questions thoughtfully. Don't lie, don't say anything derogatory. Don't brag, and don't try to justify why you don't know something. Any or all of these red flags will be good cause for the interviewers to keep you from reaching the bottom of the company's hiring funnel. Interviewers may also want to have a meeting using Skype or a different instant messaging app so that they can see you in person as well as give you the ability to solve one or more coding problems on the screen. You'll learn more about what to do, what not to do, and what to expect in your phone screen in Chapter 7. Going to in-person interviews. A successful phone screen will likely mean you'll need to schedule an in-person interview. In some cases, you'll have only an in-person interview. For example, a company may either be so small that it doesn't do phone interviews, or the company prefers in-person interviews to get a better feel for its candidates. Depending on the size of the company, you may be interviewing with people from HR as well as with at least one member of the team you'd be working for, or you may be interviewing with the founders of a small or startup company. Prepare properly. If you can, ask your contacts in the company what the interview process is like and what you should look out for in the interview. What's more, you may want to ask your friends to participate in mock interview sessions so you can be as ready as possible. Some of those friends can be interviewers, and others can be out of view to record your responses so that you can then discuss what to do. These mock sessions may take up part or all of a day, so be sure to stage them where there's plenty of room to operate and allows you to bring in good food to thank your friends. Depending on how good the food is.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?